Before we begin, I ask for a fresh anointing. Holy Spirit, would you take literal possession of my mind, my mouth? I only want to say what I hear you say and do what I see you do. And with the authority you've given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic entity, every demonic bird that would seek to steal the seed. I command you now to be silent. I command you to release every person be outside the walls of this building now in Jesus' name. And Holy Spirit, I want to say thank you in advance because I know that even while I'm speaking, you are going to be speaking words that I'm not going to say. And that you will open the ears of those who have ears to hear. I pray they would hear those words, they would capture them, and they would be changed by them. Holy Spirit, speak. And by faith I say thank you for what's going to happen. In the powerful name of Jesus we pray. And everybody in agreement said, amen. Is someone back there to hit number two? Zach, could you turn on number two for me? Today we're going to do something a little different as we head into the new church year. And what we're going to be doing this morning is I want to do two things. Number one, we want to profile the ministries in the church. And second of all, we want to honor the people in the church who have been part of those ministries. I want to tell you, first of all, again, I'm so thankful, and it sounds really weird, but I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit has led this church not to be a seeker-sensitive church. I have no desire to be seeker-sensitive. I'm so thankful the Lord has called this church to be an equipping church, to be a maturing church, to be raising people up to walk in their authority and in their power. I got to tell you honestly, I was talking to someone this week about live streaming our services, and I said, I am incredibly hesitant to go live stream because I said there is things that go on in the service, there's things the Holy Spirit has us say that if they went live stream would be out of context and people wouldn't understand. So I'll tell you, I wrestle with that. But I love the fact that on Sunday mornings, this is a time of coming. The believers come together. We can talk at a depth of maturity. We can talk at a level of meat that new believers or non-believers would have a hard time handling. Now, I'm glad there are seeker-sensitive churches out there. And once the believer gets saved, they begin looking for other churches where they can grow. And I believe that is what we are, is we're a growing church. I want to just share one thing with you before we get going today. And you can receive this because you're not a non-believer. You can receive it. But it's interesting how the Father will speak through secular people sometimes spiritual truths. JFK, when he first got into power, and we know that he was a Democrat, he was very liberal in his personal lifestyle, his morality, but he was a very popular leader. And as he addressed the country, one of the first things he said, and he said it without apology, he looked at the country and he made this statement, "Don't you ask what this country can do for you. You ask, what can I do for this country?" And he shifted a mentality of people looking to the government, the people looking to the nation and going, "You're here to serve me. You're here to serve me." He goes, "Change your mentality. Step into this nation and go, how can I serve you? How can I make this nation better? How can I become a person who is better for America as compared to sucking from it? I pour into it." I got to tell you, I believe that was a call, not just to the nation of America. I believe that was God's voice to the church. Because somehow over time, the church has slipped to a place where the mentality is, I'm going to walk into the church. Boy, you better entertain me, otherwise I'm going somewhere else. Boy, this better keep me awake, otherwise I'm going to go find a place where it's a little more awake. I got needs, and you better darn well meet my needs. And if you don't meet my needs, I'm going to go somewhere else and suck from them. Well, can I just say to you, go suck somewhere else. Because the call of Jesus when he was here on earth was not, come to me and I'll just pamper you and make you. The call was, you come to me, I'm going to equip you. You follow me, I'm going to equip you to become a fisher of men. I'm going to empower you to step into the world and go, what can I do for this world? Can you imagine a missionary going to the mission field and saying, I'm here, guys, serve me. Can you imagine that? No, the call of God on every missionary is stepping into dark places and going, I'm here to serve you. I'm here to bring the light and the life. I'm here to make a difference in your dark world. I want to say to you as mature believers, if there is anything left inside of you and you walk into this place going, what can this church do for me? I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit to take your head and to shift it around, to flush that mentality down the toilet, and to embrace a new one that said, I'm not here to be served, but I am here going, what can I do to enhance the call of God on this church? In 2007, the Lord laid on me a revelation. Some of you are very aware you were here when we brought into effect the 100-100 principle. God very clearly spoke to me and said the vast majority of churches today function with the 80-20 principle. 20% are burning out. They're doing 80% of the work. 80% are sitting on their butts and letting the other 20% serve them. Got to tell you what you already know. Over 1,500 pastors a month are leaving the ministry because of burnout. Let me ask you, why the heck? Why should a pastor burn out? I'll tell you why. That's it. Because the mentality has been that the pastor is there to serve you, to serve you, to serve you, and people will go, I'm here to be served by the pastor, and the pastor will do all of that work until nothing's left, and then can I tell you what happens? The church goes, well, he didn't last very long. Let's kick him out. Let's get someone else who can serve us better. Because somewhere along the line, somebody fed them a lie that said, you're here to serve the church as compared to you're here to equip the church to serve the body of Christ and to reach out. Can I tell you really clearly, I'm not called to do the work of ministry. I'm called to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. I got to tell you, I heard this past week, someone came to me and said, call. My brother-in-law came to the church one time and visited. I won't say who it is. My brother-in-law came with me to visit, and they decided not to come back again because they don't really want to be challenged by you. They said they are looking for a place where they can just coast on the cruise ship of the evangelical church until the hurricane comes and takes them home. Guess what I said? Praise God! I'll tell you, when Dwight L. Moody said, I'd rather have 10 people in the pew who are burning logs than 100 people who are just simmering. Isn't that a powerful statement? 100 burning. Can you imagine having 100 burning? I believe that's what God is doing here, is he is raising up a people who are not here going, serve me, I'm going to suck from you, I'm going to sit on the pew, I'm going to be a cindering log. No, that's not who God's calling. God is calling people into this place who are rising up going, I want to change, I want to grow. Light me on fire and let the world see me burn. So I'll just tell you again, the 80-20 principle doesn't fly in this church. And I'll tell you how I learned that, because when our kids were little, I believed in the 80-20. I believe that in the mornings on Saturdays, I could take our three children and we could go off to the playground and leave Jane to do all the housework all day long. We would come back at 4 o'clock and we'd go, hey, let's do something. And she's going, I'm totally bagged from doing all the work. And we had all the fun. I was a full believer in 80-20 because I was part of the 20. God used that to shift me and go, grow up, call. To call our family into become 100-100, we would take and go, okay, five of us, what can we do? Let's get it done. Let's take 2 hours and get it all done. Let's do what we have to so that we can now go off and do what we want to. And can I say it was kind of fun to have Jane come and end up doing some of what she wanted to do. A lot of men have never learned that with their spouses. And they empower their children to be just as irresponsible and leave all the weight to hang on their wife. Don't say amen. When the Lord said, not in this family. when the Lord said, don't you ever empower the 80-20. Don't you ever empower the pew sitter. Don't you ever empower the simmering log. Don't you ever empower the person who comes and just wants to suck and just wants to take. Don't you ever empower that. So I'll tell you honestly, in the past we've had people walk in, they have that mentality, and they walk out. I'm okay with that. Because I'd rather have 10 burning. Are you with me? I want to share with you, and all of you, a number of weeks ago had in your bulletin, this insert, the opportunity, areas to minister inside the body. It was in the bulletin if you hear that Sunday. If it wasn't, it's been on the back table. We encourage all of you to pick it up and to pray through the areas of ministry inside the church. And I want to say thank you to those of you who have done that. You've prayed through. You've checked off. But like I said this morning, I want to profile the areas of ministry, and then we want to honor those who have been a part of it. Because this church could not be and would not be apart from all of you who are a part of the ministries of this church. Jane, do you want to speak to any, or should I, your hands are full, or should I just, when the time comes. So do any of you have that sheet with you? You got that sheet with you? Okay, you don't need it. I'll just go through them. You'll remember the sheet. Are you guys able to punch some things up on the screen? Okay, so why don't you just punch up nursery? Do that one first, and then we'll go through. Do you want to speak to that, Jane?
Since I have a baby, I may as well.
Yes, you do.
Can I just get you to...
That's not what I meant when I said fix your tie.
Thank you, love.
Yeah, pull out your cord a little bit more, maybe.
I believe that's why God gave us eyes, to look outward and not at ourselves. Isn't that true? Because he knew we'd have a wife. But anyway. Thank you, love.
Yes, you're welcome.
How's the rest of me?
Actually, your shirt needs to be tucked in a little bit.
We'll do that
too,
later. Okay, good.
Nursery is a very precious opportunity. What I think I'm going to just make one statement here, because it kind of applies to nursery, kids' church, and rock class. And that is that when young children have an opportunity to learn about the Lord from a very early age, we have scripture that backs up the fact that when they learn those things early, it stays with them their whole lives. Whether they walk away from the things of God for a part of their lives or not, the Holy Spirit has had an opportunity very early on to infuse in them the truth of who God is. And it's undeniable. It gets woven right into your very being. So in this church family as well, it has been a very high focus that as we are working with children, they are getting their first understanding, their first comprehension of who God is. You know, as parents, we're supposed to do that. We are, especially Dad, you are the first impression of who God the Father is to your children. And that I would love to spend a whole morning talking about, because that is extremely critical, more so than mom. And we've talked about that here in church before. The second opportunity, really, for children to learn about God is when they come to church. And how we as adults interact with these people is making a huge impact on their lives, whether we realize it or not. So when you walk by a child and you give them a scowly face, you have done a disservice to God your Father. When you walk by a child and you give them a smile, or you say good morning, or if you remember their name and you say, hey, Billy, how are you today? I'm glad to see you. You have blessed that child. You have given that person a cup of water, and it will not go unrewarded in heaven. And so in this church family, one of my greatest desires is to see us work with these young people before they are hormonally driven, before they are impacted by way too much media, before they've been bullied at school. You and I have an opportunity right now to work with them to change their view of who God is, who authority is, who they are, before the world tries to destroy all that in them. So nursery from 0 to 3, kids' church depends on what the age group that is going to be that year, and rock class is a time when if you are working with children, you are getting a reward sticker every week from your father, because he sees, suffer the little children to come unto me and do not forbid them, right? When you spend time with children, you are making an eternal impact. And God is so blessed by that. And in this church family, we don't want them just to know that Jesus loves them. We want them to know how to heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out the demons. This is not a generation that is going to make it on Jesus Loves Me and Kumbaya. They need to be well-equipped. They need to be well-equipped, because even their teachers in elementary school are coming against them. Anyway, I didn't mean to. I sort of did, but
no,
whatever.
You must just have an altar call, because that was good, baby. Just let her come.
Okay. So do we want to invite all those people?
We do. I want to say a couple things first. Yeah. I got to just tell you, I love it when I hear coming out of kids' church when one of the kids has an issue and all the other kids surround them, and here you got kids praying and taking authority over another child's life. How many of us are raised that way? I got to tell you one of the stories, and Isaac and Isaiah, do you guys mind if I use you as an example one time? Is that okay? It's too late. I'm going to anyway. I named you, okay? But I was absolutely blown away. This is a couple of years ago already, where these guys wanted to get a quad. Now, when you think about, as a young person, about getting a quad, what's the first thing you think about doing? Well, we've got to save up money and got to get a job and do whatever. Okay, that's what the world thinks. These guys, the story coming from these guys is, they went to their parents and said, we'd like to get a quad. Can we sow a seed and believe for a quad? Okay, there's a pile of adults don't even think that way, guys. I want you to hear that. But you guys allowed the Holy Spirit to speak to you. You've learned something that a lot of us didn't learn till Addis. They took a seed, we prayed over it, they believed for a quad, and how many weeks was it before that quad came? It was about a month, and that quad came. Now, wouldn't you like to go to a Sunday school or a kids' church that taught you how to do that? There's still a pile of adults going, I would like this, I better get a second job, and I better do what... Can you imagine having that inside of you from young, going, you have a need, sow a seed. We want our children to grow up covenant. We want them to know the authority when they have got something to stand against. Go, name of Jesus, cold, you get off me. That's our kids' church program. All of you who have been a part, and I just want to say all of them, but the rock class is the older, the 12, 11, 12, 9 to 12 age group. I just want to say specifically, one of the things that Jane prayed for, and I joined an agreement, is that we would have men, because we had a number of young boys rising up. Nothing against you women, can I just say? But isn't it amazing when you have men teaching young men? Our society is women teaching young men, and we wonder why they struggle with identity, sexuality. I just want to say bless you, Ken. Bless you, Reg. At that level, taking those young men as men, and these guys are men, they are men, stepping in and sharing their heart, their faith with these young men and watching, allowing them to watch them as men and grow into, this is what I want to become. Powerful. All of you who've been a part of nursery, and I just want to say one thing, nursery, you rockin' grandmas. Just so you know, we have two people up there, and the third person up there is a grandparent who goes up and all they do is sit and rock and hold babies. Rockin' grandmas. All of you, part of nursery, all of you, part of kids' church, all of you, part of rock class, would you stand this morning? We want to honor those of you who have done snacks for nursery as well, all of you who are part of that.
For over this last...
You got your...
Well, over the last year or beyond?
Last year.
Over this last year. Now, the nursery schedule doesn't change until November, but if you have been involved in teaching, in nursery... Again, providing snack, any of those things. There's not that many of you here today, my goodness.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you, there is probably 40 people involved in that ministry in this church. So where are you all today?
They'll hear you over the internet.
Okay.
Those of you who are here and those who aren't, can the rest of us, can we give them a hand of thanks for your ministry? Please be seated. Thank you. And again, these are areas that invite you to pray in this next week. Some of you will be getting a phone call because in some of these areas of ministry, Jane and I wait on the Lord, ask for the Lord to give us a name, and I will be phoning you and saying, the Lord laid your name in our heart. Would you pray and consider this area of ministry? For a lot of people, the idea of volunteering for Kids Church is outside their zone, but when the Lord speaks, then it's like, okay, yes, I can respond to that and rise up. So just be praying about that. Would you write down greeter and gatekeeper? Would you guys write that down? When you walk in the door of the church, one of the first things that we want you to experience is when you get there, we want there to be somebody there who not just hands you a bulletin because a table could do that. We want there to be someone who greets you with a smile, someone who gives you a hug, someone who says welcome this morning. I'm going to ask you literally, how many of you have ever gone to a church when you walked in and it felt cold, nobody was friendly, they didn't say anything to you, you walked out and it's like, wow, that was an experience. How many of you have ever been to a church like that? Okay, we all have. Can I tell you, it just doesn't happen that you have someone at the back door that comes to church and go, well, I just think I'm going to go to the back door today. Can I tell you, a lot of what God calls us to do is deliberate. Let me give you an example. My devotions just don't happen. If you're waiting them for to just happen, they'll never happen. My devotions are deliberate. I carve out a pile of time. I say no to a pile of things. It's deliberate. It is very deliberate that we as a church, when you come to the door, that you will be greeted by two people. And can I just say that those people at the door aren't just hugging you. If you've ever noticed, the people at the door are intercessors. Because I'll tell you, what they are praying for is every person who walks in the door, what they're praying for, and we pray, is that a whole pile of the spiritual crap that's on people when they come to that door will be checked at the threshold, and when they walk in, they will experience a freedom. And all the demons are outside the door going, can't go in there, somebody prayed. I'll pick up when they come back out again, but inside there, there's a freedom. There's a freedom. Those people at the door, they greet, they welcome, but they pray. And let me just say, if that's all that we did different when they walked in the door, that you were welcomed, you were hugged, you were greeted, for some people that would be more than they've ever experienced in a church for warmth before. You're going to hear that every part of our ministry, every part of what we do here, there's a physical part you look at, but there's an undercurrent spiritual part that goes on. So some Sunday, I just want to challenge you, when you walk to the door and they come to give you a hug, just go, whoa, 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 you're not hugging me today. I'm hugging you. And just say thank you. Every Sunday at the door, our prayer is you don't ever walk into this church without somebody greeting you, welcome, and praying over you. All of you who've been greeters in this church, would you stand this morning in this place? Greeters. Gatekeepers, would you stand? They're not all here, but those who are here, and on behalf of the church, we want to say thank you on the schedule, committing once every 4 weeks to be at that door, and you're there because you are the kind of people that we want to be the face of this church. When they walk in, your face goes, we love you, welcome. Can we give our greeters a hand this morning? Thank you so much. Would you write up, I'm just going to go down the list, would you write on there communion, the communion ministry? I think most of you know, we don't advertise it, we don't talk about it, but every last Sunday of the month, except for next Sunday, we're going to do it the Sunday after, because I'll be in Winnipeg, and we're not going to do communion next week. One of the things God laid on our heart early is that there were people who either miss communion Sunday, or the Holy Spirit lays on their heart that they want to take communion every time they come to the church. We didn't begin this way, but the Holy Spirit began laying on our heart going, you know what, how do we do that? So the Lord gave us an idea that on the side we would have a table, and on the table would be the communion elements. And throughout the course of the service, at any time throughout the course of the service, that people can get up, they can walk over, and they can go, and they can receive communion, and then go back to their seat. You know, it's one of those ministries you had no idea how it would fly. Can I tell you, that area of ministry has opened up. You will see during worship, you'll see during service, people getting up and going. I'll tell you, there are times in the morning where I come out of the prayer room and the Holy Spirit says to me, Call, before you begin, go and have communion. Enter in with communion. I'll go and have communion. But can I just tell you, that didn't show up by itself. There are people who come here every Sunday early before the service. They put all the communion stuff together. They get it together. There's people at the end of the service while we're walking out, while we're visiting, who go up, grab all the elements. They go back, tear it all apart, put it away, wash it, do the whole deal. Every Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, to have communion present. We are also growing to a place where recognizing communion is not just about having some wine and having cracker. We're recognizing that communion is a powerful covenant instrument that we partake by faith and have things break, have things seal. And we want that to be available every week. Once a week, the last Sunday of the month, is when we open up to the entire body. And that communion, everybody comes forward. At times we have prayer ministry, otherwise not, but there's people who prepare it, there's people who serve it. Communion is one of those graces that the Lord wanted us to have until he comes back again. Dennis and Elaine have overseen this ministry. They put the scheduling together. They have done that, look after all the elements, putting all that together, but underneath them is a team that looks after this ministry. All of you involved in the communion ministry, would you stand this morning, those of you who have been a part of it, those of you who are here, those who put it together, those who help serving, on behalf of the church, we want to say thank you. We do not take for granted that it is there every Sunday when the Holy Spirit lays on our heart to go and to be ministered to by the body and blood of our Lord. Thank you for the time you put in, the cleaning up, the serving at the front, praying over the elements before they are put down. Can we give them a hand of thanks this morning? Thank you. Again, with all the areas of ministry as we're going through them, just allow the Holy Spirit to lay upon your heart and you go, you know, that's an area of ministry that I would like to learn about, be a part of, enter into. Can I just say, with the majority of things that have to be done in the church, you don't need a spiritual gift for them. All you need is a heart of willingness. The spiritual gifts we'll deal with another time, but can I just say, you don't need a spiritual gift to put communion together. These are just those things that happen in a family and a house. Would you write down media? Would you guys, media people, would you throw up media? How many of you remember the days when you used to have the overhead projector and then you put on the plastic sheet? How many of you remember those days? How many of you have tried to forget those days? When we began, what do they call that again? What's that called? Transparencies. That's right, transparencies. When we began, we began here 25 years ago and we had booklets, so we would say, turn to page 15, and we'd sing that chorus. And then we moved to transparencies and we thought, wow, that's like moving from fork in the hay to a baler. Like, that was just awesome, right? And then when it moved to the overhead projector, that was like, wow, now we got the bail wagon. I mean, this was really big stuff. But the media, the vast majority of people don't even think about the fact that, I mean, we use this not just for worship. We use it before the service, you screening what the words the Lord has had us believe. The backgrounds that happen all the time are chosen, putting the songs together, any of the service sermon notes that I do. These are people who just said, okay, I can either be taught on the computer or I know how to do it, and I want to go back, and this is an area that I want to be in. Now, for a lot of the media people, they don't want to be up front doing whatever, but they go, I can be in the back booth, and I can do the computer. We sit, take it for granted. We look and go, wow, that's awesome. And can I just say, the odd time when the song moves forward and the words don't, that's the only time we think of the media. And there's this spirit of criticism that winds up going, are they sleeping back there? Like, what are they not paying attention? And what I love is when the media person gets caught up in worship and their eyes are closed, they're worshiping, and we've moved on and they're still in worship, and we're all looking at them like this going, come on, get out of worship. We need you. But the area of media is critical. And we got people who come Thursday evenings. They put all the praise and worship stuff together. Sunday morning, I will give them notes, and they'll throw it up on the screen if I'm not using the whiteboard. But that area of ministry, those who have the ability on computer to put it down, shoot it up, those who are willing to be trained. Nobody comes in and goes, boy, I know how to do that. They're willing to be trained. And like Dylan said this morning, I went and gave him the list, and I said, today I might have somebody sit with you. He goes, oh, yeah, it's easy. It's a no-brainer. And I looked at him and went, when you know it, it's a no-brainer. For me, I would have to be trained. How many of you would have to be trained on a computer to do that? Yeah, the vast majority, including me. But this is an area that, as a church today, in our day, is critical. We could not do without it. It is an aid that just enhances the ministry that we do. We don't want it to distract, but we want it to be something that enhances it. And so all the media people who are a part of that, there's only a handful, maybe not all here, all of those who've been a part of the media ministry, would you stand this morning? Where are they all? Yeah. Yeah, the other ones aren't here this morning, but they'll hear it too. But thank you, guys. Appreciate. Got a phone call this week that the media guy was going to be gone, had to work today, and said, "Carl, could you find someone else? Dylan and Sam were coming down yesterday." I said, "You know, would you guys be open?" They say, "Sure, we'd love to do that." So appreciate that greatly, you guys. But that area of ministry, just want you to pray about it and see if you would be open to be a part of that. Would you write down the word usher? We can just shoot it up top, usher. This is an area of ministry that is going to become more and more important. I want to say this carefully. How many of you are aware of churches that have had people come into the church that shouldn't be there, and they have been disruptive, either with automatic weapons or just by their presence? How many of you have heard those circumstances on the news? Okay, we've all heard that. Ushers, first of all, they have the reputation of being people who walk around with bulletins and seat you. I believe that day is over. When you enter into warfare, and as God begins to equip us and move us forward, and when we begin to be a force that the devil goes, "I don't like when Solid Rock opens its door," we need to be prepared with people who know how to deal with circumstances. We've had times where somebody in this church will just start screaming out or hollering or doing whatever. We need people who are equipped to deal with that. By law, when we have children's ministry, we need to have people who monitor the hallways. They need to make sure the children get from the classroom to the parent with assistance, not wandering around in the church. By law, we're responsible to do that. We want to have people who, when anybody has a question, they can go up and just ask the usher and go, "Where is the washroom? We spilled some coffee. Where can we get whatever?" We want to have people who are prepared for that. We want to have people, when a circumstance rises up, that they are equipped and prepared to do what needs to happen inside the body. Ushers are more than just bulletin deliverers. And so this is an area that we are working on. We're putting it together. I would encourage you to pray about whether or not you would be open to be a part. It's one of those ministries, again, that about once every 4 weeks on the rotation schedule, there'll be two or three people who are part of it. We're getting to a point where we want to have one person at the back door, standing at the back door, aware of what's going on here, and looking out that way continually throughout the course of the service. We want to get to a point where we're doing that. And so this is an area that we have not been strong in the last couple of years. I'm not going to have anybody stand for this one. But this is an area that in the next short period of time, you will be seeing it, you'll be aware of it, and it is going to be an integral part of what we do in the body here. These are basically, when you walk into a bar, not that we do that, but when you walk into a bar, they have bouncers, right? These are going to be our spiritual bouncers. And I believe that's critical. So I want you to be praying about that. Men, women, this area is open for all of you. Healing room ministry. Would you write that on the screen? A couple of weeks ago, all the leaders of the healing room, we got together and had a meeting talking about last year healing room and talking about this year in the healing room. The healing room is an area that God has opened up in our church about 3 years ago. It's been functioning during that period of time. And we've had it in the church here. About a year ago, the Lord opened up a door and said, during the times when nobody is here, when people aren't walking in the door or they're not dealing with a phone call, and I just want to say there's more and more happening where people will phone into the healing room and go, "You know, we're at home, but we need prayer." And over the phone will go into the healing room and they will hear and they will pray over the phone with those people. Can I just say too, the healing room people are a people that when a request is that something, somebody has to go someplace, that a team will go together and the team will go to where you are. We've had opportunity to go to the hospital, opportunity to go to Leduc, opportunity to go to Edmonton. The healing room is becoming a mobile place to go where people are. But about a year ago, we opened up and said, when there is a quiet time, where there's no phone call, when there's no people, we have taken all the names in the church, and the reception person will dip into that, pull out a name, turn it over, send it into the healing room. The beautiful thing in the healing room is that when the healing room begins to pray, they have no idea. They don't look at the slip. They don't know the name. They just go, Lord, give us a word for this person. You know who they are. Give us a word. They get the word. All the team gets the word. They flip it over. They see who it is. They record the word. They write it on a piece of paper. Then they slip it into the mailbox. How many of you have received a slip that the healing room has prayed for you? Almost all of us. How many of you have been blessed by the word that came to you in the mailbox? Almost all of us. I have. Can I tell you, my name has gone in there. They pulled it out, and I come in the week on Tuesday. I walk in, I pull it out of my mailbox, and I sit down and go through those words from the Lord. I got to tell you, I have been impacted and blessed by those words. As we were talking about moving forward, we have changed a bit in the healing room where, and I'm responsible for this, where I set a boundary, basically, that the needs that walk in, they got to be healing needs, and if they're not healing needs, we used to shoot them up to the intercessory prayer and go, if you have a financial need, go up top. If you got a relational need, go up top. You know, unless you have a broken arm or a broken leg, you know, go up top. We want to pray for healing. The Holy Spirit changed that. The definition of the healing room has opened up going, you know, healing comes more than just physical. Healing comes relational. Healing is financial. Healing is emotional. We've opened that up. As we talked as leaders, the Holy Spirit laid upon our heart that we have been called to our Jerusalem. We've been called to battle for Canada. Let me tell you where the healing room is going. We're opening up even broader. As a healing room, we're going to be putting into a container all the names of our political leaders in Alberta, political leaders in Canada, political leaders in our town. During the quiet times, our receptionist is going to pull out a name, turn it over, send it to the healing room. They're going to wait on the Lord for a word for that person, flip it over. They're going to record those words. Then a letter is going to be sent to that politician and said, we as a church have a healing room ministry. We waited on the Lord for you. These are the words the Lord has given you. We pray that you are blessed by them. If there's anything we can do to pray for you or encourage you, please let us know. In this next year, the healing room is going to be waiting on the Lord for words for all of our politicians. We are going to send it to them and let them know that we are praying for healing for our nation. The definition of the healing room is changing. We're recognizing that God heals arms, but he also heals nations. I can't wait. I'm hoping, and I'm not going to arrange this, but I'm hoping that one of the first names that is drawn is our prime minister. A word from the Lord comes. We can send him a letter that says, our church prays for you. We don't criticize you. We don't run you down. We don't mock you. We don't make jokes. We don't fall into that curse trap. We pray for you. And here's the words of the Lord over you. If there's anything we can pray for. And let me just say, I want to get that in there before the election, because after, I'm not sure that he might be in that position. I'm praying he won't be. But can you tell me the impact on a prime minister, on a cabinet member, on a premier to receive a letter from a church that goes, we have a ministry that waits on the Lord for you. All of you who have been a part of the Healing Room ministry, I would like you to stand. All of you who are leaders, all of you who are in the team, all of you reception people, all of the Healing Room ministry, there's about 20-some of you. They're not all here today, but would you stand? First, I want to say on behalf of the church, bless you, because through your ministry, we have been blessed. All of us have been blessed as you have waited on the Lord for words. Those who've walked in and needed physical healing, relational, emotional healing, as you have prayed and poured over them and warred over them, there isn't a person that has walked out that has not been blessed. And can I just say this? The words of Maggie, the head of the Healing Room ministry in Canada, I will never forget where she makes the statement and goes, guys, the Healing Room has one single purpose, love on them. Love on them. That's the definition of the Healing Room, love on them. And can I just say you've done that? Can we give them a hand and say thank you this morning? This coming Tuesday, we're going to have the kickoff Healing Room. A number of you have written on the sheet, you have marked down Healing Room of interest. If this is an area of interest for you at all, just information, invite you to come Tuesday, 6 o'clock. And there is a process that we go through to move you from knowing nothing to being full-blown in the ministry. We train you and do that. If that is a prayer of your heart, then I invite you to come on Tuesday. Worship ministry. Could you write down worship? How many of you know that worship is an integral part of getting together as a family? How many of you know worship is huge? Yeah. I believe that God is shifting us as a worship ministry. Over the years, God has just been saying, I'm taking you to a different place. We could look back and just there have been shifts in the area of worship. But this is one of those areas where I got to tell you, the commitment level of our worship people is huge. Thursday evenings, they come together for two and a half hours practicing. Sunday mornings, they're here at 8 o'clock, 8:30. Before some of you wake up, they're here putting it all together. The media people, the sound people, the leaders who put together all of the worship sets pray on a regular basis. Monthly, we get together as an entire worship ministry, and we spend an evening together in prayer, in teaching. The worship ministry is a huge ministry. And again, it's one of those things that just doesn't happen, but it is absolutely deliberate. There are those who are committed to it to the core. There is an area of spiritual gifting on this. There is a call, worship. There are people who go, boy, this is an area I'd love to be a part of. We love to train in this area as well. If you have a heart for worship. I went to a worship conference one time, and the debate was, is it better to hire professional musicians so that you can have excellent quality worship, or are you better to have people who have a heart for worship, but their quality might not be that great? The consensus at the conference was, hire the big guns, because you want your worship to be excellent quality. I walked out of that going, forget that noise. I'd rather have a person who has a heart for worship and knows how to play the recorder than to have all these big guns coming in from secular bands and having this hotshot worship. To me, the anointing is far more powerful than the skill. And I just want to tell you that every Sunday, the worship team, after they practice, they join those who come for prayer in the early morning. They come in there, and the entire worship team stands around, and they have hands laid on them. They are prayed for them before they ever go onto the stage. All of you who are part of worship ministry, and I first want to acknowledge in this area, Dana, would you stand? Zach, would you stand? Two of our worship leaders. We meet together on a monthly basis. I meet with them, and these are the ones who put together the sets. These are the ones who carry the ministry. Everything happens underneath them. The extra time commitment on their part is huge. Want to say thank you in the church. But all of you who are part of the worship ministry, would you stand? All of you a part of it. They're not all here. Again, there's about 20-some involved in this ministry. But on behalf of the church, we want to say thank you for your commitment, your willingness, your time commitment, using your skill, your gifting, and your desire to grow. I just want to say, just really quick, John McEwen was a part of our ministry for a long time until a woman messed up his life and took her from us. I'm just saying it how it is, okay? Very exciting for John as he met Stacy, got married, moved to Calgary. But we knew that we were losing John, and we've had worship people who've been a part of our ministry, and then they've moved and done whatever, and it's like, okay, God, you knew that. That didn't shock you. God, we need you to fill in. I just want to say one of the beautiful things, we went down to Reading last October. John came with us. That was his last thing. He was moving. But while we were at Reading, Jerry came up to me when we were at Reading, and he goes, call. He goes, I know that John's going to be gone. So he said, I just want to make myself available. I will play every Sunday to fill in because I know John is gone. That, I just want to say bless you. That just reveals your heart. But that's the heart of the worship ministry. We couldn't be the church we are. When we were at Reading, it was really beautiful because after the first session, this is the Open Heaven Conference, Arnold and Linda were sitting down below with Dennis and Elizabeth. They were sitting down below, and we were up top a little bit. I walked down, and I walked past, and Linda just reached out, grabbed my arm, and she says, isn't it amazing that we have this kind of worship in our church every Sunday? Like, how beautiful. that just shifted me, because part of what we do is go, oh, Bethel worship. Oh, my goodness. That's just like, whoo, it's like a different planet. No, Linda brought it all back home and go, God meets us in our worship every Sunday like this. Linda, that was such a powerful word that just, it was beautiful. On behalf of the church, worship ministry people, thank you for all your time tonight. Intercessory prayer. Would you write that down? Intercessory prayer is something that God laid strongly upon Jane's heart. I just want to say, really interesting, I keep finding it fascinating that intercessors are being drawn to this church. Intercessors are being drawn to this church. These aren't just your casual prayers. These are people with an anointing, a calling to pray. They are intercessors. A couple years ago, God laid upon Jane's heart that we needed to begin moving this into a formal. It's really quite interesting. There are some churches now that actually hire a full-time prayer. Is that happy or sad? It is sad. Okay? It's happy, but it's sad. So when you get to a point where you need to hire somebody because without being hired, people don't pray, I guess maybe there needs to be a revival. I'm not sure. But when God laid upon Jane's heart and said, you know, this needs to go to another level, ever since that time, every Tuesday evening while the healing room goes on, Jane is up on top, and there are those of you who have felt led on a Tuesday evening in the midst of all that goes on, you have felt led to come and carve out that evening. You go up top, and all you do for 2 hours is you pray and you intercede for the church, you intercede for the government, you intercede for whatever God lays on your heart. You wield the weapon of intercession. My wife is an intercessor. Many of you are intercessors. Jane, also during the week, do you want to speak to it?
This is red. Does it mean it's dead?
Yeah, it's dead. Jean, would you take it back? They'll change batteries. Jane can speak out of mine here. I got to get close to you, baby.
I just need to say, though, that term intercessor, it sounds very intimidating, and it can be very intimidating to people who don't understand what we're doing. And I am an intercessor, but I was always a reluctant intercessor. Sometimes when I intercede over something, I am very forceful, and I, you know, just take authority over something, and that's kind of how it goes. Other times it's just, God, you deal with it. And that's the extent of what I did in intercession in that particular subject area. Intercession does not mean you are quoting 50 different scriptures at a situation. It does not mean that you're crying on the floor. It does not mean that you starved yourself all day. It does not mean that you're miserable. We have a lot of fun in our intercessory prayer meetings. And it isn't straight prayer for 2 hours. I'm making a confession right now.
I forgive you.
It can be a lot of fun. And so I want to just say, do not be intimidated by the word. If you feel remotely interested in learning, if you feel like God is calling you to pray more, many times people just come and sit there quietly and learn. And I know that it has changed their personal prayer life because of comments that have been made later. I didn't realize that's all this was. I didn't realize how easy this is. It's not like what I think some of the holy roller kind of churches we all kind of saw maybe years ago, where everybody's on the floor and crying, and, you know, there's mascara down their faces and snotty nose. That is not intercessory prayer most of the time. So I don't know if that's helpful or not, but I just felt like I needed to say, do not be intimidated by that term. Come and join us sometime. Have some fun with us and learn how easy it is to bring down strongholds. We have the name of Jesus. That's where the power is. It's not some magical formula that we're praying out. It's the name of Jesus. We have authority in his name. And if we would just open our mouth and use his name, things happen. Things change. It's not because we've, you know, puts 12 words together in the magic formula, and that's why something happens.
That's good. Just a couple of things in this area. Have you ever known a church that has gone ahead of its prayer cover? Some of you missed that. Have you ever known a church that has gone ahead of its prayer cover? Okay, we've done that. We have moved past where we have had coverage in prayer. We have learned that we don't move without having prayer cover. And can I just say this to you? For a lot of you, when God calls you into something, don't go in there until you phone two or three people. You have prayer cover before you step in. A lot of you go in there like a lone ranger and you wonder why you get hammered. Prayer cover is huge. So prayer cover as a church is huge. In this area too, I want to say, again, I said a couple weeks ago, I cannot tell you how thankful I am, those of you who come a half hour early, and I know our services are for mature believers. They're not for babies or non. But for those of you who come a half hour early, you go into that prayer room, and for a half hour before the service, you're crying out to God, waiting on God, just being in the presence. I can't tell you the difference that I believe the difference that makes every Sunday when we step into this time. It's huge. One last thing. I will never forget an older pastor who made a statement, said, the best way to learn how to pray is to sit with someone who knows how to pray. Most people go, I don't know how to pray, and they will never put themselves in a position of being with prayers. If you were raised in a home where you had a parent who prayed and taught you to pray, as you sat there, listened to them, and you learned how to pray as they prayed, you are the exception, but you are blessed. The majority of us did not have that, and so now we have to do that in the body of Christ. There are prayers in the body. You want to learn how to pray? Sit with a prayer, and you will get infected. All of you who are part of the intercessory prayer, all of you who are part of Sunday morning prayer time here, would you stand? Those of you who are part of that. Yeah, there's way more that aren't here, but that's totally fine. Prayers, I want to say thank you. I can't give you the blessing that God gives you as you wait on the Lord, as you hear, as you wield. I also want to say on Sunday mornings when I release a special grace over intercessors to pray through the course of the service, to pick up what's going on in the spiritual realm so that you are aware and praying and keeping things at bay, I'm talking to you. And you know I am. So I want to say thank you for your commitment to pray. This is not, oh, I got $20 in my wallet, let's throw it in the offering. No, this is commitment. I'm tithing, I'm pulling it out. This is commitment. I'm carving out this time to pray into war. I want to tell you there is not an immature Christian who enters into this area of ministry. Can we give the intercessors a hand this morning? Coffee ministry. How many of you had coffee today? Okay. Not quite the most important ministry of the church. But I do want to say this. There was a time in a church where we did not have the coffee ministry in the middle of the service. We used to have it at the beginning, and there was a time we had it at the end, until the Holy Spirit laid upon our heart that we needed to shift things. Not because our service went for 2 hours or 2.5 hours so that we could get up, have a break, go to the bathroom, get a coffee so you can stay awake for the message. Stay awake for the message. No, that's not why. I'll tell you honestly again, I'll just reveal, our coffee ministry time in the middle is very deliberate, it's very intentional, and it's way more than coffee. During this period of time, there is very intentional things going on in the church. You won't even know it. I'm going to tell you, you probably won't hear it again for another year. During this period of time, every leader in our church has an assignment. Every leader in our church has an assignment. They get up. They are aware. If you catch any of our leaders talking to any other leader in the church, you come and tell me, because our leaders have an assignment that when we get up during the break time, our leaders will ask the Holy Spirit, where do I need to go? Who do I need to talk to? Who do I connect with? Who is on the outside? Who is sitting by themselves? Who's new and not? Our leaders are getting up and making connection with people in the church. And can I say it again? That single connection is the difference between people going, wow, somebody cared in the church and nobody gave a damn. Our coffee time is the deliberate connection time. Do we have room to grow in this area? We sure do. Because when I give you 7 minutes, some of you like 11 minutes. As the usher ministry begins to come into place, you're going to find people at the back that will encourage you. We shut the light out. Some of you get the hint. Some of you don't. Okay, we're going to do more deliverance ministry. Let me tell you, there are some in the church that when we have our coffee break and the message begins, that they will be seduced into standing at the back and visiting during the entire message, miss everything that goes on in the church, and somehow think that's fine. It's not fine. The coffee time has a deliberate purpose, but it is not for the intent of distracting or pulling a person away. It's a time of connection. A number of months ago, we had the people of our coffee ministry stand so we can acknowledge them, because they are a committed group who every Sunday come early. They set it all out. They clean it all up. They put it all away again just so we can walk back there, take our cup, sit down, and go, wow, this is Tim Hortons. It's great to be served, but this is an area where people serve. Coffee ministry people, and they're not all here either this morning. That's totally fine. Coffee ministry people, would you stand this morning? Look around. Iona's upstairs, and is Cheryl in the kitchen? They had to leave, Marva and Cheryl. Coffee ministry people, on behalf of the church, we want to say thank you. You provide an opportunity for ministry to take place, relationship, connectionship to happen. You do a pile of work before, a pile of work after, but you create an environment for God to do his thing. God uses you hugely to make us a warm church. Can we as a church say thank you to our coffee ministry people? Would you write down the Welcome Center? Welcome Center. A number of you have put your names on this form and have said you'd like to be part of the Welcome Center. As a church, there's a lot going on, and there's a lot of questions. We have had the Welcome Information Center. We are wanting it to take another level where during every break, we have someone who's in there, getting to a point where before the service as well, we have someone in there. After the service, someone's in there, because we are having lots of things where we're having to write down, having to sign up, having to take money, having to register, questions about what's going on. These are going to be people who are behind there that when you go see them, can I just say, have you ever phoned somebody and the person on the other end of the phone, they're representing the company and you go, you are in the wrong position. Have you ever had that happen? Like, you should be cleaning toilets. You should not be answering phones and welcoming, because after one conversation with you, I don't feel welcome at all. Have you ever had that person? Yeah. You know, the first face you meet, the first voice when you go, it needs to be people who go, hey, great to have you. What's your question? How can I help you? Not people who go, you're bothering me. That's what we are wanting. We're needing it more and more. There are those who, back at the Welcome Center, Kate, want to say thank you. Where is Kate? She's where? There you are, Kate. Yeah, just want to say thank you again. As Kate has come on, Kate has been back at the Welcome table more and more, but we're going to add to that a team of people who are going to be back there, have the information, able to answer the question. If they don't have the answer, they'll find someone who does. But we want that to be a place where people begin to go and feel like they get any of the information that they need of all that's going on. So let's just give Kate a hand, because that is the person. Thank you, Kate. How many of you notice every Sunday that what changes up here doesn't change every Sunday, but the altar, sometimes there's stuff hanging on the wall, sometimes there's stuff. How many of you actually notice the change that takes place up here? Yeah, thank you for noticing. There is a altar ministry people who all they do is they come in and they go, that's what we want to do. We just want to come during the week and we want to change with the seasons. We want to just, as God lays upon our heart. And I grew up in a church where all they did was change the color of the fabric that laid over the altar. Do you remember that? That's all they did. So every month they changed the fabric and that was it. I got to say, we are blessed to have people who come. The other day I came in here and Cassandra and Jeff were in here and they were putting that all together. But there are people who, again, this is their area of ministry. They want to bless the church and this is how they do it. And so altar decor people, would you stand? Cassandra's not here today. They are off doing Sheena. So the two of them. In this last year, we've had other people before, but in this last year, the two of them have committed to come and just make this an area of ministry so that we can be blessed by it. I love the Remembrance Day ones. I love the Father's Day ones. Love the Mother's Day ones. But all throughout the year, that is an area of ministry that we are very conscious of, and people come and do that. Can we give Sheena, and Cassandra's not here, can we give them a hand? Thank you, Sheena. I want to talk about maintenance and church maintenance just really quickly together. This is an area where every Thursday evening, first of all, we have a group of people who come in, and it's open for anybody who comes in. And every week, they go through the entire church, and they prepare it for worship on Sunday. The activity that happens during the week is more and more, but when we walk in here on a Sunday morning, it's not by mistake that your chairs are in place, not by mistake that you don't have crackers underneath your chair, not by mistake that there aren't cups and bulletins around, not by mistake that the carpets are clean and the floors are washed and you have toilet paper. How many of you had no toilet paper this morning? I thought about doing that this week. Seriously. I thought about just making it one Sunday, coming in, no toilet paper, and every person would appreciate the church maintenance prepare people. That's all it would take was one, right? And can you imagine, can you hear the uproar like the people of Israel and Egypt going, I got no paper! And they'd have to reach out. But again, it's one of those things we just take for granted. When the paper's there, when the paper towel is there, we walk in and the floor is clean, we don't even notice and go, that just isn't that, we just take it for granted. No, it's not for granted. There are people who literally every week who come commit themselves to wash, to clean, to vacuum, to do everything that's needed in the kitchen, to the bathroom, all the way to the front, to make sure this sanctuary is honoring to the Lord. Thursday night people, you know who you are. Would you stand? Thursday night people. Iona is upstairs. Marvin and Cheryl are gone. Mary's here. Kevin is who knows where. There is about six or seven regular. Betty had to leave as well. She had to leave. So all two of you. But I do want to say, on behalf of the church, I want to say to those who come every Thursday, and can I just say to you again, you don't need a spiritual gift to do this. All you got to have is a heart. And just say, Lord, you want me to be a part of that? You come and be a part of it. So on behalf of the church, can we say thank you to you who come on a regular basis? All right. Any others you can think of? Can I just say to you again, and I want to do one quick picture. Zach, could I have you go behind and could you bring out a rack of red chairs? Could you bring it up? Dennis and Lane, can I have you guys come to the front? Liz, would you come to the front as well? Diane, can I have you come? Virgil and Rose, could I have you guys come to the front? Just want you to stand up here. I'm going to use that. Jerry, can I have you? Can I have you come? Alan, Ramona, can you guys come to the front? Dana, can I have you come? Can you come? Yep. This is a picture that the Lord laid in my heart a number of years ago. I've used it a number of times, but I want you to get a picture. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Could each of you take a red chair and just hold it? Just come get your chair. Just take it and then go back. Yeah. I want you to get a very clear picture of the difference between the 80-20 and 100-100. Could I have all of you hold your chair up in the air? Part of God's design in Ephesians chapter 4, he says when every member of the body is doing their part, that the body of Christ actually accomplishes its purpose. So what that means is if these 10 represent the entire church, when everyone is doing their part, this is Dana's part, this is Al's part, this is Ramona's part, Virgil, all the way down the line, they're doing their part. When every member is doing their part, the purpose and function of the church happens. That's God's intent. In my home, I had to learn to draw my children in and had to learn to discipline myself to be a part of what needed to happen as compared to laying it all on Jane, and we would go off and have a great time fishing, biking, doing whatever, and gave her all the work. I had to learn that. Some men haven't learned it. But if I'm the enemy, the design of the enemy, not just in the world, but in the body of Christ, in every organization, you know it. If you're part of any group, you've seen it. Part of the design of the enemy is to break down every member doing its part and to make it so that a small amount do most of it and some of them do none. Jerry, I'd like you to come and put your chair on Elaine. Ramona, I'd like you to put your chair on Dana's. Virgil, Can you put your chair in Rose's? Let's do it the other way. Okay, Rose, can you put your chair in Virgil's? Let's do that. Okay? So I just want you to look at it and go, okay, if this is the way it functioned in a family, that in this family, in this family of 10 people, we look over here and go, well, Jerry's doing nothing, and Rose is doing nothing, and Ramona's doing nothing. How many of you would be, well, you know what? That's okay. Somebody else picked up their part. There's 3 of them doing nothing. We're okay with it. How many of you are okay with this picture? You're totally okay. Okay, the truth is, even with this picture, we're at a point where we're going, we're not okay. The truth is, in the church, we're way okay when 30% are doing nothing and 3 of them have picked up the other person's part. Dennis, back off. That's your wife. Just for that, Elaine, would you put yours on his? Would you do that? Virgil, would you put yours on Liz's? Would you do that? Al, would you come over and stick it on Diane? And Dana, would you come and stick it on Diane as well? Virgil, back off. I want this to be real. You can't do it? Good, I'm glad. Okay, just, yeah, set them down there, just if you can't do it. All right. Okay, how many? All the ladies put your chairs on the floor. Oh, thank you, Dennis. Thank you, Dennis. What's wrong with this picture? Physically, when we can see it, we look and we go, there is something wrong with this. Okay, there's 7 of them who've got nothing. They're holding nothing. 2 of them have got so much that they're in the process of burning out. They can't even hold up all the weight and responsibility. You've got 1 who can do it. But over a period of time, the weight of that would be too much, and eventually he'd put it down as compared to if he just had 1 and everybody had 1, they'd be totally fine. Now, I want to give you the real picture of what takes place. Can you take 1 off of there, put it onto there, take those 3, put it over there? Just take 1 of these. And take those 2 and put them over there. Put them on there. Al, can you come over here? Diane, can you shift for a second? I'd just like the 2 of you to just pick those chairs up and just hold them for a short time, the 2 of you. Okay? Just really quick. This is the picture as a whole of the body of Christ and most of the world. 80% doing nothing in their load, 20% carrying the weight of the entire. You guys can put it down. I just wanted the visual. Let me tell you, I could take you to church after church after church. I could take you, pastors burning out, leadership burning out, 20% burning out, because 80% are carrying not a single chair, and 20% have a heart to serve. They want to serve. They just have more and more put onto them, but they get to a point where they go, I can't do it. Here's the amazing thing. The 80% of the church are usually fine with the other 20% burning out. They're totally okay. The moment you get a revelation of the way God called it to be, could you all take a chair again? The moment you get a revelation, this is what needed to happen in our church, this is what needs to happen in the body of Christ, they begin to look at what all that takes place and they go, if we spread this out and let every person just carry the responsibility of 1 chair, nobody burns out, we can all do it. Can you hold your chairs up just for a second? Anybody struggling? Is everybody okay with this picture? This is the picture. Get it inside you. This is the picture. If I'm the enemy, I'll do everything in my power to make sure that that picture changes. As a spiritual leader, I'm not open for that. I'm not okay with 20% of them carrying 5 chairs each and 8 of them going, serve me. Serve me. It wouldn't happen in my home. It's not going to happen in this home. So I want to say thank you to all of you who have been a part of the ongoing functioning of this church, and thank you to all of you who after today will go, Lord, I don't want to be a person without a chair. Where can I serve? Tim Hortons should be enough to tell you anybody can make coffee. It's just a matter of going, God, where can you use me? JFK said, don't ever ask what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. I believe if Jesus was here, he'd look and go, don't ask what the church can do for you. Ask what you can do for the church. When you give someone a cup of cold water in my name, you've done it to me. Can we give these 10 a hand? You can just leave them. You can just leave them. I want the image to be there, Virgil. Yeah. Just leave them. Thank you. Would you bow with me this morning in a word of prayer? Father, I thank you again that you have been busy in so many areas of our life, depositing your heart inside of us so that we are aliens in this world. The way the world does it, the way religion does it, is not the way we do it. I thank you that you have made us family. And I thank you with every one of us, you have given us the ability and you have given us spiritual gifts. As we talk about the areas of ministry in the church and talk about the areas of functioning, Father, I thank you that you have given every one of us the ability to pick up a chair and be part of what you're doing in this body. I thank you for those who've waited on you and said, Lord, where do you want me? And they've seen the chair, they picked up that chair, they're serving in that chair. Father, I pray for every person today that you would lay upon their heart, give them a desire to serve and to be blessed in that and to go, what is my chair? And I prophetically declare that this is a body 100-100. I declare that we are a body, every member knowing its part, doing its part, and accomplishing the purpose for which we are here in this city. So seal today. I release blessing over every person who ministers in this body weekly. Father, thank them, bless them in a way that only you can. And to you in advance, we give all the glory for what's going to happen in this next year. We come against the curse of the 80-20, and we declare it is dead in this family. And we release the anointing of 100-100 and the joy of it. I declare to you today what you already know, that the Lord has blessed you and he's keeping you. The Lord has caused his face to shine on you and he has been gracious to you. The Lord has lifted up his countenance upon you and has filled you with his peace and filled you with his heart. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everybody believing and receiving said, Amen.